As we look at the fall of Jericho, if you will turn to Joshua chapter 6. Joshua chapter 6, beginning at verse 1, says, "Now Jericho was straitly shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out and none came in." Let's pray. Father, thank you for this wonderful story of Joshua. Lord, it's a story that certainly shows your power and your leadership. And Lord, we know that you're still the same God today that you were then. So help us to draw the biblical principles from this story tonight that will help us in our walk with you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. As we look at the story tonight, we're going to look at, first of all, the wall to overcome and the warning to obey, the win to obtain, and then the wages to own and possess ourselves. As we look at a little bit of introduction going on here, remember the Israelites had come out of Egypt. They had crossed over the Red Sea, which is a picture of salvation. Now they have crossed over the Jordan, which is a picture of the victorious Christian living that God wants all of us to have, and not a wandering in the wilderness type of Christianity. And then we saw that they were at Gilgal, where they those who had been born since they crossed over the Red Sea were circumcised, and now comes the city of Jericho, and it's about 1400 years before Christ. And as this wonderful story takes place, God is going to prove to the surrounding nations that the God of Israel is the one true God. And God is still trying to prove and convince that to all nations everywhere. He wants to use us to prove that to other nations, that He is the only God. He is the one true God, and there is none other name given among men whereby we must be saved except the name of Jesus. And so what He is doing as far as the other nations goes, He is proving to them that He's the one true God. But to Israel, He is proving that as God led Moses and the Israelites across the Red Sea, that same God is going to use Joshua to continue to lead His people. Because God is not going to forsake His people. He has a plan for them. He has a goal. He has a land for them. And He's not going to leave them alone. He's going to accomplish what He has set out to do. And He chose Joshua, and Joshua was faithful. But had Joshua not been faithful, God would have found someone else. Man's obedience or disobedience is not going to thwart the purpose of God. But it's a wonderful thing. Whenever we are obedient and He chooses to use us to be a part of what He is going to do. And so you look at this city and you look at the people that were living in it, and they were afraid. Here they were, protected by walls, the security that was there, humanly speaking, and they wouldn't go out. Nobody else would come in. They were going to stay put because, remember, they had heard, we had seen a couple of chapters ago, how when the spies came in and Rahab was there, she knew that they were going to be defeated. They had heard what God had done to the other kings, and they knew that they were facing doom, and they were afraid of what was going to happen. And so we ask ourselves the question, which is safer? Is it safer to live behind secure walls inside a strong city where these Canaanites were, or is it safer to live out in the open? A group of people who had wandered for 40 years, didn't have any protection around them. They were obviously tired and worn from 40 years of wandering, and which is safer? Well, we know the end of the story. We say it must be safer to be outside than inside. But why is it safer? Well, you look inside the walls, and not everyone died. There was Rahab and her family, and everyone that was in the house, they were safe. So the safety had nothing to do with whether or not they were inside the walls or outside the walls. The safety had to do with their trust, their faith in God. And so as Rahab and those inside her house, they put their faith in God, and they were saved. Those on the outside, they had put their faith in God, and they were saved. And so we know that our security, our well-being is in the hands of God. We can trust Him, whether we are with God's people outside or whether we are inside the walls. Jericho is a picture of the world and worldliness all around us, and we'll make some applications to that in a little bit. As now they come and they see that there's a city, walls to overcome. And can you imagine, here are these people that were born in the wilderness. They've not seen a city like Jericho before. They've not seen a city with walls. And they go in there and we have a saying, you know, countries come to town. Well, here they are. You know, they've never seen anything like this. And it must be amazing to them. And they see these walls in this huge place, nothing like the tents that they had in the wilderness. And then we see the promise that God has given to them in verse 2. The Lord said to Joshua, "See, I have given into thine hand Jericho." God had made a promise. He didn't say, "I will give it to you." Notice he says, "I have given." And so it was Joshua's part and the people's part to believe what God has said. God said, "I've already given it to you. It's yours. You just go and obey and claim it and do what I've told you to do, and it's yours." And so many promises we have in the Word of God, He's told us that as well. And we have just to hold on to His promise and claim them also. Well, God always has a plan, and He has a plan here. In verse 3, He says, "You shall compass the city." That word compass, and that's the way that is pronounced, compass rather than compass. It means to circle, to go around. There we have some other words that come with that C-I-R prefix there. So the plan is that they compass the city, all you men of war, and go round about the city once. Thus shalt thou do 6 days. And the seven priests shall bear before the ark 7 trumpets of ram's horns, and on the 7th day you shall compass the city 7 times, and the priests shall blow with their trumpets. And it shall come to pass that when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, and when you hear the sound of the trumpet, all the people shall shout with a great shout, and the wall of the city shall fall down flat. Now you hear that plan and you're thinking, "I don't know about this. These are pretty strong walls from what I see. How is a shout going to bring down these walls there?" And so here we have 7 priests, 7 trumpets, the 7th day, 7 laps around the city. We know 7, the number of perfection in the scripture. And verse 5 tells us that all the people shall shout. All of them didn't have a trumpet. They all weren't priests, but they all had a part in what God was going to do, because it wasn't the shout that was going to make the walls fall down. It was God who was going to do it. But all the people had a part. And God is working today as well in our world. And Jericho, as I said, represents the world. And God wants to use all of us. And there's a part we can have in what God is doing. And with His plan, He also has a procedure. He said to the people in verse 7, "Pass on and compass the city, and let him that is armed pass on before the ark of the Lord." So this procedure was there would be some at the front. And then verse 8, when Joshua had spoken to the people, the 7 priests bearing the 7 trumpets of ram's horn passed on before the Lord and blew with the trumpets, and the ark of the covenant of the Lord followed them. In verse 9, "And the armed men went before the priests that blew with the trumpets, and the rearward came after, and after the ark, the priests going on and blowing with the trumpets." So God had them divided up into these 3 groups. And all of them were going forward. All of them were going to shout. And God had a plan, and God had a procedure that He was doing. The Ark of the Covenant is there, of course. And the Ark of the Covenant, we know, represents the very presence of God. So when God tells them to go and to surround a city and take the trumpets and to shout, the whole time he is there with them. And God is always with us. We have the Holy Spirit living within us. And so when we go out into this world, into our Jerichos, and the walls are there that we have to overcome as well, we have the promise that God is with us. And it's God who gives the victory. We either have to blow the trumpet, or we have to shout, or whatever God tells us to do, but he's the one that's going to take care of the walls that seem to be in the way of what we want to do and what the Israelites want to do. And so God always has a people that he's planning to use. And here, beginning in verse 10, Joshua had commanded the people, saying, "You shall not shout nor make any noise with your voice." And so let's look at the people here, sort of like being in school, isn't it? Where the teacher says, no talking, no talking, don't want anyone talking, no noises there. And so here, they're in class, and God says to them, I don't want you to talk, don't want you to make any noise, neither shall any word proceed out of your mouth until the day I bid you shout, then you shall shout. So he says, at first, you need to be quiet. And sometimes, there is a time for this, isn't there? There's a time for us to be quiet, be still, and know that I am God. And there's a time where we are quiet, and we're waiting on God. And most of the time, we don't like that. We want to see some progress. We want to do something. We don't want to just sit and watch. Well, when it's time to move, verse 12, Joshua rose early in the morning, and the priest took up the ark of the Lord there. And so the urgency is there. And whenever it's time to move, God wants us to move in haste. Study to show thyself approved unto God means be diligent in the Word of God. And whatever we do, we saw it this morning, God wants us to be diligent. So they move up. Now we see in verse 13, and the seven priests, bearing seven trumpets of ram's horns before the ark of the Lord, they went on continually there. And we looked at the topic of faithfulness this morning, and now we see that all of them were to go on continually and blow with the trumpets. And the armed men went before them. But the rearward came after the ark of the Lord, the priests going on and blowing with the trumpets. Can you imagine what the people inside the walls were thinking? What are they doing? Why are they marching? Why are they blowing? What's going on? Remember, we saw at the very beginning of the chapter, they were afraid. They weren't going out. They weren't coming in. They were scared to death of what was going to happen here. And God had put fear into their hearts. Now, some of the people following Joshua, they might have been a little bit afraid as well. And sometimes whenever we are obeying the Lord, we might have a little apprehension. We might have a little fear. But that should never stop us. We need to let our trust in God overcome any fears that may come into our lives. So God wants us to be faithful. It's required in stewards that a man be found faithful. And here they are going on continually there. And we must ask ourselves the question, am I faithful? Am I faithful in prayer? Am I faithful in my Bible study? Am I faithful to church? Am I faithful in my giving? Am I faithful in my witnessing? Am I faithful in my giving of thanks? Am I faithful? God wants us to be faithful, and Joshua was. Verse 14, and the second day they compassed the city once, and they returned into the camp. And so did they 6 days. And so we read this, and we get through the first 6 days, you know, pretty quickly, but was it that quick? For them, inside the city of Jericho, they were waiting 24 hours a day. They march around once, they come back, they do it again. Those 6 days must have been very perplexing to the people in Jericho there as they were living in fear. Now we come to verse 15. And it came to pass on the seventh day, they arose early about the dawning of the day, and compassed the city after the same manner 7 times. Only on that day they compassed the city seven times. And it came to pass at the seventh time, when the priests blew with the trumpets, Joshua said unto the people, shout, for the Lord hath given you the city. And so here are the people inside again. They see them go around once. They've done it six times before. And so they say, okay, they're finished going around the city. Oh, here they go again, you know, and here they go again. And here they go again. And so they're waiting there. And then all of a sudden, Joshua gives the command, and all the people, as I said earlier, all the people are to shout. And when you think about the shouting, it's a shout of victory. But the shouting is coming before the victory takes place. And so we see their faith in action here. It says, shout for the Lord. Here's that past tense again. The Lord hath given you the city. It's already yours. All you have to do is shout and claim it there. And so all the people that were divided, the front and the middle and the back, you know, they were to do these things. They were to be silent. They were to act in haste. They were all to be faithful, and they were all to shout, and God was going to use them as they come to overcome the walls. But God gives them a warning, beginning in verse 17. It says, the city shall be accursed, even it and all that are therein. And then in verse 18 it says, and if any wise you keep yourselves from the accursed thing, lest you make yourselves accursed when you take of the accursed things and make the camp of Israel a curse. And so you have an emphasis, obviously, on this word, the accursed thing there. And the accursed thing was forbidden. And Joshua made it clear. And Jericho is representing all of those that oppose God. And there are things in this world that God has cursed, things that believers should not take part in. And so we make applications to that. And so when we think about the curse here, it has to do with the first fruits. We'll call it the tithe for my alliteration here tonight. And so whenever they were going into these cities to conquer, Jericho was the first city. And so after that, now God didn't tell them all this in advance, they didn't know this, but the first city was the first fruits. They were not to keep anything from Jericho. But after they had defeated Jericho and then they would go into these other cities, they would gain the spoil. But they had to first give that which was God's to God. And so if they kept anything back from Jericho, it was accursed because it was God's. It was not theirs to keep as the spoil, as it's often called there. So the accursed happens five times in these verses here, there. And God is going to give them victory. Notice it says in verse 19, but all the silver and the gold and the vessels of brass and iron are consecrated unto the Lord. They shall come into the treasury of the Lord. So everything in Jericho was the tithe. It belonged to God. And as they go on from other city to city, they were going to be able to have some of it for themselves. But this was an accursed thing. And God said, if you keep it, you're going to be accursed. Five times in verses 17 and 18 there, it tells them to stay away from the forbidden thing, just like God had given a forbidden tree to Adam and Eve. He said, that one you're not to take of. And here God says you're not to take anything for yourselves from this tree. If you do, there's going to be trouble. And that's the last word in verse 18. You will cause the camp of Israel to be a curse, and also you will trouble the camp of Israel. In Proverbs 15:6 says, in the house of the righteous is much treasure, but in the revenues of the wicked is trouble. And whenever we keep that which belongs to the Lord, we create trouble for ourselves. 15:27, Proverbs says, he that is greedy of gain, and this would apply to these people going into Jericho. If they were greedy of gain and wanted to keep something for themselves, when God said, that's accursed. you're going to trouble yourself. You're going to trouble the whole camp of Israel if you take of the accursed thing there. And so God gives a warning that all the spoil of the first city belongs to him. Now we come and we see the treasury as well. It talks about that in verse 19. It says, everything, all the silver and gold and so forth, goes into the treasury of the Lord. It's not going to Joshua. It's not going to the nation of Israel. It's the treasury of the Lord. In those days, all the kings, they had their own treasuries where they would store things, sort of like banks today. But the things that they were going to gather from Jericho, they weren't going to go into Joshua's treasury. They were the Lord's. God has a treasury in heaven. The King of Kings, Jesus Christ, he has a treasure laid up in heaven, a treasure house. And in Matthew chapter 6, it says, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. And so God says, this treasure that you're going to go into Jericho and you're going to see things like you have never seen before, they're mine, God says. They're accursed. Don't take them. He gives them the warning there. They have trusted him to knock down the walls. Now they need to trust him concerning having their needs met there, because he's going to provide everything for them. Well, they're going to win this battle, not because of them, but because of God. Verse 20 says, so the people shouted when the priest blew the trumpets. And it came to pass when the people heard the sound of the trumpet, and the people shouted with a great shout, the wall fell down flat, so that the people went up into the city, every man straight before him, and they took the city. And so here we see the removal of the wall. And this is not because their shout was vibrating and causing an earthquake, but it was in response to their faith and obedience. It wasn't a brilliant plan of man, because nobody would have come up with that plan at all. Who would have said, what general giving this kind of plan, he would have been kicked out. You know, they wouldn't have followed that kind of plan. But they trusted Joshua because God had magnified Joshua in the sight of the people, and they said, okay, we're going to do it. It's by faith. And they go in, and they're going to win, and the wall has been removed. And then the wall's down flat. So now it's time to rush into the city. It says, and every man went straight before him there. There was still work to do. The walls were removed, but that's not the end of the story. And so God takes down walls. He saves us, Red Sea. He takes us through the wilderness, across the Jordan, but sometimes in our lives there are walls that we think are hindering what we want to do. But God has a way of removing walls. And when he removes the walls, there's work to do, and we go in, as they did, to take the victory. Verse 21, and they utterly destroyed all that was in the city, both man and woman, young and old, ox, sheep, ass, with the edge of the sword. And so the next thing we see, there was a required destruction of the city. Why did they have to destroy everything? The reason was, one of the reasons, more than that I'm sure, but primarily to prevent the Canaanite culture from coming into God's people and corrupting them. And this Jericho represents the world system today. And if we're not careful, the culture of the world around us can infiltrate our minds and our hearts and our children. And it's so important that we destroy those things that will harm us there. We don't want the culture of the world to shape our thinking and to mold our hearts there. And Deuteronomy, it gives us this warning as well. It says, but of the cities of these people, which the Lord thy God doth give thee for an inheritance, thou shalt save alive nothing that breathes. God said, destroy everything, but thou shalt utterly destroy them, namely the Hittites, the Amorites, the Canaanites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, the Jebusites, even the Perizzites, I guess, as the Lord thy God commanded thee. So God says, destroy them all. Don't let anything be left that's going to be worldly and get into my people and change their way of thinking so that their thinking is like the world. Now, that's why the folks at Sumter Bible Church started Sumter Christian School, having Christian education, because the world's culture, it can affect the minds of children greatly. The world's music, the world's recreations and video games and the world's way of life and all those things can infiltrate and mess us up. God says you got to destroy those things. Well, verse 18, you see it up there on the screen, at least the reference. You don't see the rest of the verse yet. Notice the warning. He says, thou shalt save alive nothing that breathes. And here's verse 18. Here's purpose. That they teach you not to do after their abominations. So God wants to destroy all those things that will bring abominable thinking, abominable activities, abominable philosophies into their mind. God wants it destroyed because His people are a holy, consecrated, separated people. That's what the word church means, as I mentioned this morning. It's called out ones. God has called us out from the world, and He wants us to destroy anything it is going to negatively affect our walk with God, which begins with our thought process there. So the old things must be destroyed, because when we get saved, all things become new and we get rid of the old things. Now let's move on to the last part, the wages to own, the last two verses of the chapter, 26 and 7. Joshua adjured them at that time, saying, cursed be the man before the Lord that rises up and builds this city Jericho. He shall lay the foundation thereof in his firstborn, and in his youngest son shall he set up the gates of it. Notice this prophecy that Joshua is giving here. In those days, the custom was whenever they had new walls built, new city, they would dedicate the gates and the walls by burying their children in the foundations there. And back in 1 Kings, as we look at the curse, it says, and in his, speaking of King Ahab, in his days did Hiel the Bethlehemite build Jericho. Remember the walls of Jericho we're studying? He laid the foundation thereof in Abiram, his firstborn, and he set up the gates thereof in his youngest son, Segub, according to the word of the Lord, which he spoke by Joshua, the son of Nun. So this man had his children buried there, and Joshua pronounced a curse on the one who would come and build this city here. And so God wants us to tear down the walls that hinder us from living in the world, or living for the Lord, and keep us living in the world. So we have the opportunity to have blessing instead of curse. We saw the accursed thing in 17 and 18, and then we see the word cursed again in verse 26. But God wants us to have blessing. So the chapter ends with this. So the Lord was with Joshua, and his fame was noised throughout all the country. And Joshua's fame was noised because of what God did through him. It wasn't Joshua who had done that. Joshua was honored. God honors those that honor him. That's 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 30. Faith honors God, and God honors faith. And so they trusted God. They went around the city seven times. They blew the trumpets and they shouted, though it didn't make a bit of sense to them, I'm sure. They obeyed, and the walls came down, and God gave the victory. But they still have to go in, and they have to leave everything to the Lord's treasure, and we know what happens next. Most of us do with Achan's sin, where he takes some of that, and that's where we're going next Sunday night there. But we come to the conclusion, and I want us to see a couple of verses from Deuteronomy here as we think about knocking down the walls of things that might represent the world. In Deuteronomy 11, it says, "Behold, I set before you this day a blessing and a curse." And so we have just seen that the wages to earn that we can own, we can either gain a curse or we can gain a blessing. And which one do we get? Well, Deuteronomy says a blessing if you obey the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you. And the commandments to the Israelites, the commandment was to get in order, have three different groups, go around the city one time for 6 days, the seventh day, go around seven times, blow the trumpets and shout, and God will do the rest. And so God expects us to obey, trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus. There's no other way to have victory. There's no other way to have these walls that seem so powerful and so tall, but God will knock them down flat, as it says. I like that it says that in verse 20. The wall fell down flat there. Well, the rest of Deuteronomy says, and a curse if you will not obey the commandment of the Lord your God, but turn aside out of the way which I command you this day to go after other gods which ye have not known. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. And so God says, you can trust and live by faith, and I'll take care of all the walls that get in the way. Or you can go your own way and disobey, and there's going to be a curse. There's going to be trouble if you disobey what I've told you. You know, and we can't live by the laws of Jericho and live by the laws of the world and expect to have the blessings of God. But we can live by the law of the Lord and obey it and fully expect to have the blessings of God, because they are directly tied to obedience. Here was Joshua outside the wall, exercising faith, and God gave him victory. Here was Rahab inside the wall, exercising faith, and God protected her. And so no matter whether we're in the world or out of the world or where we might be living, our victory is through faith. Faith is the victory that overcomes the world. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the power of faith. And the reason faith is so powerful is because of the powerful God in which we place our faith. You're able to take down these walls, even in a world that hates you, in a world that seems like the opposition is so great. And Lord, we even see in our nation some fear of righteousness. Fear of believers, that's why they attack. They want to quiet us, and they want to stamp out Christianity. But Lord, help us to walk by faith and not allow Jericho of the world to get into us, but that we would see you knock down the walls of opposition and bless our church, bless our families, bless our nation as we obey and trust you and what you tell us to do. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.